Where's the treat? Oh, I thought you said, where's the treat? I don't have any treats for that. Well, it's good to be together. Tonight we are, as Janine said, having our annual business meeting. To a lot of people that doesn't sound very fun, but we do two meetings a year. One is in the fall, where we deal with elections and some budget stuff. This one we deal more so with reports and where we're at. We really treat it more as kind of a town hall meeting's a rough idea. But we do handle some of the business as members and those who are not members. We need to know what's going on, where we're at, where we're going. Then we take a break, have a bit of food. And then I want to share a little bit about, from myself and our church leaders, where do we sense God is taking us? Where are we now? Where are we going? Have a little bit of dialogue and a whole lot of prayer about that. So member or not, I just invite you. We're all part of church family together regardless, and it's good to know where we're at and where we're going and have some voices into that. That's not just a communication time either. So please come tonight. I want to make a little bit of a disclaimer as we're on God's mission individually as families, as a church family. This morning is Vision Sunday, so we take a couple of these times a year to talk about vision, but every time I talk about church or say the word church this morning, I really want you to think of people. So you see on the next slide here that I want you to substitute that. So if I say the word church, you'd be thinking people, followers of Jesus who are gathered together in groups of two or more. That's what the Bible teaches. That's church, okay? It's not the institution. It's not the business. It's not the organization, any of that type of stuff or the programs, although we do need to be a little organized. If you're going to gather a bunch of people together, it's no good to try and send out a text or a Facebook message or an email to everyone and say, hey, next week, when do you think we could all set a time to get together? We do need to have a little bit of organization to be able to gather in smaller or larger groups. But let's just have that in our minds, that I'm talking, and God's talking about people when he uses the term church. In January, our leaders and our elders met for a day apart to pray and discern where God was taking us in light of our vision. We believe God's called us to something. We're in the same mission as every other church, just it's a little unique because we're unique people. We're in a unique neighborhood. We have unique resources that are just about Country Hills Church. So we're doing the same thing every other gathered group, and there is a global church and a local church. So local churches are just small parts of the global church. We're all connected. We're not better. We're not worse. We just happen to gather together here. There's lots of other gatherings all over the world today and throughout the week. But we gathered to discern what God was doing. One of the, two of the things that really bubbled to the surface that God was putting on our hearts to work on, to grow in, some growth areas is our communication, how we communicate, why we're doing what we're doing and where we're headed, and connection. Just you know, people, we didn't seem as a church family to be as connected as we could be. And we asked God to help us have a theme or a verse or something that we could really hang our hats on or really rally around. And I went on a personal retreat a few weeks later, and Colossians 3:14 kept bubbling to the surface. So I took it back to elders and staff, our leadership, and we prayed about that and discerned that that would be something this year we'd focus on. So we've got it, you know, several places in print and digital, and that's where we're going to be focused this morning is in Colossians. So today's Vision Sunday, we're not going to be focusing on the breathe, love, serve so much of, you know, our unique call here. But as a church, what is God calling us to as a church, as people? We are a local church, a local gathering. But wherever two or three of us are gathered, what is God calling us to? Now, me, you know, just being a North American person, being the same as many of you, probably went through several different fashion, you know, phases throughout your life. We're going to look at Colossians 3, what not to wear. And Paul talks a lot about clothing. So you're going to see some pictures here. You can start to scroll those through up of different, you know, me growing up. And in grade 8 and 9, I had this thing for track pants, usually too short, and t-shirts, and I was a little bit of a late bloomer. And I hit grade 10, I switched schools, I got contact lenses, I really liked skateboarding, so I'd wear baggy skater clothes, and I grew my hair long, and I had this thing for wearing like long sleeves and t-shirts over top. Nobody else did that, and I tried to do that a few years ago when it kind of came back in, and my kids told me otherwise. And so, you know, I you like that? That's a good one. That was taken here, actually. So I grew up, and things changed. Around about grade 11 and 12, I started to get it away from some of the friends I was with. The skater friends I hung out with, a lot of them were kind of pre-goth, and so my hair and my music and my attitude, my clothes got really dark and angry and brooding. And in around grade 11, God started to get a hold of me, and so did the grunge music scene. So I started to shop at a lot of thrift stores, and I wore a lot of plaid. Lots and lots and lots of plaid. And I still like to wear plaid. So we all go through some different phases. What you wear tells people about who you are. It's an expression of what you're into, what you like. And, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a tree by its fruit. And we make judgments all the time. You see someone, see how they dress, how they carry themselves, how they say hi to you, how they don't say hi to you, and you make judgment calls. Now, that's different than being judgmental. Judgmental is looking down your nose at someone because of that. But we all make, you know, judgment calls every day. That's the way God made us. It's how we discern the world around us. And what you wear tells the world a lot about who you are, what you're into, and it's supposed to. So today, we're going to look at where Paul in Colossians 3 talks about clothing. In Jesus and in Paul's day, the Jewish men and women basically wore six things. They wore an inner tunic, which was an undergarment of linen or soft cotton, and then they wore an outer tunic. There's different names for that, but we'll just call it outer tunic, which was basically a glorified shirt. Okay, it went right to your ankles, came up to your neck, and went all the way down to your wrist. Because in the hot sun, they needed something light that would cover them and keep them from the sun. They would also wear a belt to tie everything together. Often it was thick leather, and they would hang tools and things like that from it. It was not so much fashion or design, but it just kind of pulled everything together and would keep their flowing garments from getting caught on all sorts of stuff. If it was really hot, you would often find them walking like this, and they'd grab the hems, and it would get a little bit of breeze up in there, and you'd cool down. All right, so they would wear a headdress as well. Sometimes it's just a cap or different kind of hats, but always would have some sort of material that protected the neck and the head from the sun. Always sandals or soft shoes were not as common, but always with leather. So if it was shoes, it was soft leather. If sandals, hardened leather to walk. And over all of this, they would put on a cloak or a mantle. And sometimes it was in the form of more of a blanket. It was thicker. It's what had all the color. It was kind of the more fashionable thing. So sometimes you'll see with a sash, it looks almost not a full sash, but something hanging over the shoulder, over that outer tunic. That would be the form where it was more of a blanket. But often people took that and made it into a garment. They could just pull it on over. It would go as long as they wanted to, be as thick as they wanted to, and that became their blanket at night, especially when they're traveling. Then they could take it on or off, put it over the shoulder if they were hot, put it on at night and stay warm. It was very practical. And so Paul talks about these items of clothing. Now I'm going to make some correlations between these articles of clothing and some of the things that Paul says in Colossians. I'm making that up. Don't go home and say, man, I can't find, where in the Bible does he say, you know, kindness is like the outer tunic? He doesn't. I'm saying that for illustration, just so we're clear. And a really cool thing that you can do as we talk about Colossians, if you go home and you're talking to other people and you're like, oh, you know, what did your pastor do? What was your thing at church? You can tell them just over lunch today. It's kind of a fun conversation starter. You just say, yeah, my pastor got dressed and undressed in front of us this morning. And then you can see what they say. Now tell them the truth, that it wasn't all that weird. But that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at some clothing. So Paul says in Colossians 3, he says, since God chose you to be a holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves. First of all, first article of clothing, tender-hearted mercy, that inner tunic. I am not going to wrap this like they wrapped, all right? We're just going to wrap her around the waist, okay? Then you have the outer tunic, kindness. I said it's a long shirt. Sometimes in different weather, it would be lighter or heavier, depending on the weather. But it's what protected you from many things. So for our intents and purposes today, Let's think of this as kindness. So we've got tender-hearted mercy. We've got kindness. And then you would have the belt. Now, I couldn't find a big leather belt. And hopefully I'm skinny enough to get this around. But humility. This is humbling. Right? This is humility. Gentleness as your headdress. So they would wear something that would always cover back. Our photography group, you guys, there was a bunch of you on Tuesday or Thursday night. You forgot your cameras. Bad move. Patience. Sandals. They would always have sandals. I don't have leather sandals. That's another fashion thing that my kids have helped me with. You ever had that where your kids are like, Dad, you can't wear those ugly leather sandals anymore. Wear flip-flops or something different. So we'd put on tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember this, okay? The Lord, I see that flash. The Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all else, the cloak. Clothe yourselves with love, for it binds us together in perfect harmony. The thing that goes on over everything else, above all these other character traits, is love. It should be the thing that people see when you're walking far away. If I was walking, you would more so see this, especially if it was brightly colored, than anything else. So above all else, put on love, which binds us together in perfect unity, some versions say harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Why clothing? Why would Paul choose clothing to talk about? Because clothing tells other people what's going on a little bit on the inside. It says something about us. It makes a statement, and it's obvious, and it's visible. If you go in a hospital, you know who the doctors and nurses are by their clothing. You know who a crossing guard is, a soldier, an astronaut, you name anything. Many different occupations we have in different societies, in different cultures. You know who is a priest, who is a whatever, because of their clothing. It tells you right away something about them. And so Paul says, let this be your clothing. Now, there's a show on TLC called What Not to Wear. Who's seen that? Almost every lady.
Yeah.
And the guys are like, yeah, it's been on in the background. Right? If you're too TV home, you don't have to put up with that. So it's kind of a cool show, actually. They take people and give them a makeover, but more than that, they teach these people to buy a new wardrobe. So they get rid of their old wardrobe, and they teach them something new. It's kind of a bad premise how people get nominated for this thing, because their friends think that their fashion and their hygiene is so awful that they secretly video them and send them in. And then they ambush them with all their friends. Oh, yeah. See this? So you got to tell Robin I found this. This is like what you do. So this was in the photocopier today. Robin's in the nursery, and I said, oh, you owe me one. Someone could use that driver's license picture for someone. So they take someone like this, and they turn them into someone like Robin is now, very fashionable. And so you can let them know that I did use that picture. That was great timing this morning to find that in the photocopier. Wonderful. So they take these people. But you know what the cool thing about that show is they don't just give them a visa and send them out shopping. They actually help them pick outfits with pieces that go with each other. They teach them to put a wardrobe together so that it all gets tied together. They want to have pieces that can be used with each other. Now, my kids often look at my outfits and say, what, right? Dad, that doesn't go. I had this like brown outfit, earth tone thing, and they called it my turd suit. So, right? I don't wear that. I don't own that. It's gone. That's long gone. I thought it was great. Stephanie helped me pick it out, but clearly it was no good, right? Clothing tells you a lot about what's going on. But these clothes that Paul talks about, always go together. In fact, when we think of the wider sense of being a church, all these items, it's like we're a wardrobe. And when we dress ourselves in these things, the pieces just start to fit together in perfect harmony. So what does my own individual clothing, my character, have to do with all of us? Well, a lot. So I'm going to try and get undressed with some sense of dignity this morning, and then we're going to take a look at this passage. So turn to your neighbor and tell them they look dashing today, or look beautiful. Come on, say you look wonderful. I wish I had your fashion sense. Let's see if I can take this thing off. It's like a straitjacket escape this morning. All right, lost my mic, now my undergarment. All right, we're good. So Paul writes to Colossians, and we're in Galatians 5 in our Galatians series, and we're going to look at a similar list. It's interesting how Paul says similar things to similar churches who are going through similar issues and problems. So starting at verse 12 of chapter 3, if you have your Bibles in Colossians 3. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. We're chosen for this. We're called to this. We're God's holy people. We're his holy representatives. Jesus is the hope of the world. Amen? Amen. But the church... And what does church mean?
People.
People, okay? People are his hands, feet, and mouth. Now, no one comes to know the Lord unless the Holy Spirit draws them. We looked at that last week. But it's his people who share that message. Apart from the church, people living in such a way that they have even the permission to share the love of God with others. There is no hope for our world. It's through us that Jesus draws people to himself. Here's how you should look, act, think, Paul says. Be tender-hearted, compassionate, merciful, kind, humble, gentle, patient. It's interesting how God continues to speak similar things to us in this season for Country Hills Church. And, you know, the fact that this Sunday falls here, we're just about to get into the fruit of the Spirit, it's not a coincidence. And so we need to pay attention. We need to look, we need to listen, and we need to follow. You know, we don't require others to be perfect. And so Paul says, clothe yourself with these things, but make allowance for others' faults. We don't require ourselves to be perfect. And sometimes we don't cut each other the slack that we cut ourselves. And so Paul says, look, if you want to have true unity, true community, these things are important, but look, you got to make allowance for each other's faults. You need to forgive offenses even before someone realizes that you're offended. Even before you realize that you're offended. What would things look like if we did that on a regular basis? Now, there is an order to this. There's an absolute order to this. God says, look, I'm going to allow you to experience my love, perfect love. And then I want you to gather with others who've experienced that too. And then you're going to learn to share that from here to here. Because it's someone else who gets it. Someone else who has experienced salvation, who understands my deep love. You guys work it out together. You gather in places where you can learn to love one another and learn where you can expect someone else to behave like a Christian, to forgive one another's faults, overlook things, forgive offense, learn to work at issues and problems and still be family and love. So that as you work that out with people who know me, when you spend the rest of your days and weeks where you can't expect people to behave, act, think like followers of Jesus, you still have the tools and understanding and can make the choices to do what? Be tender-hearted, gracious, kind, understanding, forgiving offense. That's lacking in our world. Above all, though, above all else, clothe yourself with love. It binds us together in perfect harmony.
Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. Look, the cloak you put on over everything else, let that be love, because that will bind us together in unity, and it will allow us to what? Experience peace and express thankfulness. In fashion, you look for a piece that pulls the outfit all together, don't you? You just want to pull that outfit together, get that one piece. I remember being over at actually Shane Langlade's a while ago, a couple years ago, and he was talking about pieces in his room and talking about what ties the room together. We look for pieces in our room when you're designing a room or doing anything like that, that pull a room together. You want that piece, and God's saying to us, love is that thing. It's that missing thing that pulls everything together. So do I have a few volunteers? I don't know if there's anything in the baskets. People around the back there, is there anything in those baskets? Anything in the baskets? No? Nothing? Anything back there? Yeah, okay, bring them up. Yeah. There's a lot of articles, a lot of action and things going on. Why people are leaving the church, you know, let's define it, let's talk about it, let's church bash, let's figure it out. And so we all have lots of issues with the church. And I thought I'd read some of these out and just not so much address them specifically, but this is a good one. Those who claim to know God but are hypocrites in their hearts. That's a good one. Why has no one voiced a concern in this basket? That is my problem with the church, okay? You all have it. I know you do. We all have stuff in our hearts. That's good. You got to fess up to that later, okay? You got to tell me. That's really good. I like that. We all have issues or concerns. If I had an open floor and you know, it got going and you felt like you wouldn't be judged, we would have things to say. I want to let you know that as a pastor, okay, I feel those things as deeply as you. I hate seeing all the church bashing on Facebook and elsewhere, but I enjoy the discussion. It's an important discussion. Why? Why? Because somewhere along the lines, we have this innate sense of what the church, people, when we gather, should be like. And that should affect what we're like when we scatter. Gathering and scattering, gathering and scattering. That's our rhythm. And somewhere deep down, we know something's not right. Because we're supposed to gather with people who know God, but then there's all this hypocrisy. How do we address that? Some of that is we challenge each other. Iron sharpening iron. Some of that is making allowance for each other's faults. Some of that is learning to work out issues so that people don't leave the church angry. I'm going to go find a new church. I don't like this church. I'm in conflict with you or whatever. I'm going to take off. Or I don't like this worship. Or I don't like that or whatever. There's good reasons to go to a different church family. But checking, if you are a believer in Jesus, checking out of church, I mean, check out of the institution all you want. But checking out of God's people and gathering. We need you. You need us. And Paul says, here's what makes it all work. Here's that piece that makes it all work. It's love. It ties everything together. If you can just learn to love one another, everything else will fall into place. And you know what? I could have read, you know, 15, 20 different reasons. A good answer to all of those is love. Not, you know, worldly, whatever you think of love. God's love. The kind of love that lays down a life for another person. The kind of love that God sent his son for. That love, that deep love. That looks directly at someone's faults, doesn't overlook them, understands them, but makes allowance for it and no condemnation. We should always be addressing sin and shortcomings in each other's lives, not with judgmentalism or looking down our nose, but with massive amounts of grace and bearing one another's burdens. No one should ever come into any gathering of God's people because we're his representatives and leave feeling alone or distraught or troubled. We're going to get it wrong. Do you know why the letters are in the New Testament? Do you know why after Acts? Because we're such a mess. People were such a mess. All these different churches. You know, Corinthians, one of the big deal was There was a guy sleeping with one of his in-laws. And some people in the church thought it was no big deal. But that's a big deal. And so Paul says, you got to address this. You can't be fighting, backbiting. What, you know? And there's persecution. There's all this kind of stuff. If we started to substitute the words followers of Jesus for the words church, maybe some of our biting comments would take on a different tone and we could actually address them. But above all else, we put on love. And there is that rhythm. We experience love, we express it here, so that why? We can learn to love others out here. I'm asking God to make me more like Jesus so I can love others the way he did. And when I get it wrong, I ask for the grace, your graciousness. And when you get it wrong, I will be gracious to you. And we're still unified. We're still in harmony. Verse 16. When we read this, think about any time you gather with another believer. This is what it should look like. Okay? Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with wisdom he gives. Why do we preach or teach? Why do we do some of these things? Why, when you gather with a Christian friend and you're wrestling through things, do you give counsel? Do you pray for wisdom? Do you refer to God's word? Do you refer to other books and wise things? Because we teach and we counsel one another. It's this give and take. When you gather together, teach and counsel. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Music is not worship, but part of worship is music. So when we gather, we do this. We sing songs because there's something emotive about it, that artists have put words to the feelings of our heart to express thankfulness. And then verse 17 is very interesting. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Paul makes an abrupt turn. Up to this point, he's been just talking, you know, follower of Jesus to follower of Jesus, where two or three or more of you are gathered in any way, shape, or form. This is what it looks like. And where you do have differences, here's the thing. It's love that's going to fix it. Do you know what? More relevant programs, or more tradition, better sound, lights, worship, younger people, older people serving, meeting in a cathedral or a gym or a movie theater or a bar. None of those will address what we need. None of that. We're just doing the same old thing in a different place. The thing that we lack, or we need more of, not that we lack, we need more of, is Christ's love expressed to one another. Because Paul makes this change here in verse 17. Whatever you do or say. Where does whatever happen? Only here, only when you meet, wherever you meet with other believers? It's wherever. Anytime you're with followers of Jesus or not, here's what it should look like. Whatever you do or you say, do it as a representative, back to verse 12, representative of the Lord Jesus. You're chosen and called to this, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We need to come and gather together. We need it. You have to have that. You have to gather with other believers. We do not live a private faith. Our faith isn't private. It's not at all. We don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. We have a personal element to our relationship with Jesus. But we have a communal faith that's dependent upon our mutual support. And we live that out on our own. Our individual relationship with God affects everyone else's experience together. To the degree we are keeping in step with the Spirit and allowing God to transform our attitudes, behaviors, our character to be more like Christ, so too our communal attitudes, behavior, and character will look more like Christ. It's this give and take. It's a both and. You can't have one or the other. Why do we gather? For encouragement and being spurred on. And sometimes we need a shoulder to cry on. Sometimes we need to be the encourager. Sometimes we need a kick in the pants. Sometimes we just need to be quiet so that we can scatter. We gather so we can scatter. We gather so we can scatter. So my question to you this morning is very, very simple. It's very simple. What are you wearing? What are you wearing? When others look at you, what clothes do they see? You know what would change our neighborhood, our gatherings, our church, your home, your family, your life, our community, your workplace, your school? If it was more impacted by the love of Jesus Christ. the love of God the Father through Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. That can only happen through you. That's it. You are it. It's you or nothing. You know what would impact our gatherings? You. You. Spending time with God, allowing Him to continue to transform you. And that as we gather, we don't expect anyone to be perfect. We anticipate, we expect brokenness, we expect disputes, disagreements, people getting all upset about things, and this is not my style, and I don't like this. We expect that. That's good. Because when we have that together, and we can work those things out and learn to love one another and forgive offense, that's a different church in the world. I don't want Christians to be known as hypocrites or those stuffy people or those religious people or the most ornery customer in a restaurant or the most difficult person in a shop. I don't want that. That's not what God's calling us to. He has something deeper for us. Jesus said it this way, a new commandment I give to you. So Jesus really only gives three commandments. People looked for law and legalism. He said, no, it's the way of grace, not the way of law. They said, you want laws? Okay. First commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind. Second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And here he gives his disciples, you want another command? It's going to be like the others. Here's a new command. Love one another. Exactly the way I've loved you. God's loved us so we can love one another and learn how to do that so we can express that to others even when it's not reciprocated. We can't expect others to love us back the way Jesus had. What we can expect is mistreatment, no reciprocal love, to be misunderstood, persecuted, maligned. We can expect that, but even in the face of that, our love never changes because His doesn't. You are also to love one another. By this, not by our programs, not by our logos, not by our vision, not by our whatever we're doing, by this thing, when others see you guys interacting and they see this kind of love, when they experience that for the first time, they'll know that you're my disciples. If you have love for one another, we got to figure this out. Got to figure this out. Christians never fighting again on Facebook. Done. If you fight on Facebook with any other believer, you are a fool and you embarrass us all. Completely. Don't do it. Don't do it at work. Don't do it in typing. Don't fight outside. Fight in here. Learn to give grace to offense. The first three centuries of the church were the most highly persecuted centuries apart from this century. So first three centuries is much the same as now. Christians were the most persecuted. But you know what else happened the most? It spread the most. The gospel spread like wildfire. The hotter the persecution was, the more it flamed that fire and that passion. And you know what believers were known for in those first three centuries? Serving, loving, humility, patience. When a devastating plague hit the third century, the plague, all throughout Europe and Asia Minor, all throughout the world, really, the known world, those who did not know Jesus left cities and got away from epicenters as quick as they could where the sickness was breaking out. Historically, it's documented. Christians were the ones who stayed, at peril for their own life. In cities and towns where families, people did not know Jesus, were tossing their sick out onto the street even before they died so they wouldn't get infected. That's how bad it was. Christians stayed. And they would gather these people up, take them places, and care for them. They were known for that. Are you giving, sacrificing, and loving for each other? And when I say do that first, it's not a hierarchy, who's better. We learn it here first. It's not like, well, I'm not loving my Christian brother and sister, so I can't love those who don't. It's not that at all. But if you can't do it here, you won't do it with others. If you can't do it here, you won't do it with others. Are you giving, loving, sacrificing, even to pain of death? Because it begins with us and it spreads out from there. The clothing we wear with each other here is the clothing we ought to be wearing with others wherever we go, whatever you do, what are you wearing? So let me challenge you this. Sometimes this can feel very, you know, guilt thing. If you're not wearing the clothing that God has intended for you, and it comes from your identity, why does Paul say, put these things on? Not because it's our own effort, but there's a choice to be who God has created us to be. God has called us and created us to be his representatives. Already, he's given us everything we need. He's placed within you patience, humility, loving kindness. All those things, they're already there for you. But you need to learn to interact with one another that way and put the behaviors that match your identity on. If you're not doing that, then I encourage you to ask God to change your clothes. As simple as that. God, what is it going to take that my clothing changes? God's not done with you. We're not done with each other. We should be in each other's business. That's why small groups are so great. You get to know other people, find out what they're going on in their lives. When there's a need, you're there. When there's joy, you're there. Everybody should have a smaller group of believers around them apart from the larger gathering. Because you need it, we need you. It's the way it works. That's just how we programmed it. It doesn't matter if you're in a small group. Just find a smaller group of believers. You can be family to one another. But if you're not doing that, if that doesn't, you know, look like you, ask God to change your clothes. Spend time with God regularly for him to change you from the inside out. And your behaviors will fall in line eventually. Spend time with others who know how to behave in these ways, who have that kind of character, and glean from them. How do you do that? Like, how do you not blow your stack at this? Or how can you forgive that? Or spend time with others. That's why we have a library downstairs and videos and all sorts. We hear stories of people who have had victory in areas of their life. They're not better. They're not worse. Sometimes we make them celebrities, and we should not. It's just people who, in some areas of their life, God has moved, and we need to glean from that and spend time with each other learning. We help those who are weak, and if you're strong in an area, you bring those others up where you have strength. We help one another. Ask God to change your clothes. Be intentional about putting on the clothes that God is talking about. May we at Country Hills Church adopt a global mission of the church to share Jesus with others that they might be saved too. If you believe it and it's worth it, we're his hands, feet, and mouth. There's no other way. The Holy Spirit is going to draw, but we need to be faithful to live and love first. That when others interact with us and they see us, the first judgment call they make on us is what? Love. There's something different. And I've heard several stories over the past year from many of you who've said, this is what's happening in my life. People are asking, what's different about you? Well done, we're doing well. And if you're not, no guilt. Holy Spirit doesn't work in guilt. The only person who condemns is Satan. God just wants you to spend time with him. He will birth that in you. Spend time with others who will help you do that so that we're part of the bigger mission of the church, so that we're tenderhearted, compassionate, merciful, kind, humble, patient, loving, wherever we go, whatever we do. Are you in? That was encouraging.
Yeah.
Are you in?
Yeah.
Amen. Worship team, coming up. Let me pray. Father, thanks. thanks for miraculously saving Paul, who writes your words in his way. Thanks for giving us practical illustrations, because we're foolish at the best of times and don't understand you as often as we can. But we can understand clothing. We can get that. So Lord, for those pieces of clothing in our character, our attitudes, our behaviors, our character, that don't look very much like you, Jesus, I pray you'd strip that off us, crucify them, put them on the cross, and teach us to walk around in our new clothes, our new identity in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Would you stand with us?